Welcome to episode somehow 201 of the Book Wars Pod.
Oh my god.
I wonder if people just thought that we were like trying to get 200 to fulfill a bet and then quit.
I think they hoped for that, but sadly here we are.
To be fair, that would be on brand. Because as Kate said, we are in the middle of a book. We are reading what I hope is the middle third of Path of Vengeance, chapters 22 through 43. It is by Kevin Scott. I definitely remember reading this book. I'm Miranda. Hey.
Nailed it.
What if we just wrapped right there?
Yeah, just let's put this one in the can. We're done.
Listen, I got the whole introduction without fucking up.
No. Also, listen. Notably, still in the middle of this fucking book, y'all. Like,
everyone's here. We're reading the book. We're still. Is this the last one in phase two?
This is
one more.
Jesus.
Isn't there one more?
There. This is the last like full book in phase two. Yes.
Oh, I thought there's a DJO thing. Is it not a book? Is it just a comic?
All right, so
fuck.
Why the setup of the High Republic is an all right so moment. There is after this book, there is a manga, which that's probably what you're talking about. I don't remember that DJO did it, but I don't remember that he didn't. So that's probably what you're talking about. And then there's like an interstitial couple things. There's like an interstitial comic series and an interstitial like book of short stories that we'll be reading, and then we start phase three.
Okay.
And those are basically like, hey, remember a year and a half ago when you finished phase one? Here's what happened.
The only reason I thought there was another thing was because, as I already very clearly said to everyone before we started recording, when I started reading this, I thought this book happened before, and I know that some of it's before and some of it's during. We're Tarantinoing it here, sort of, kind of. Well, now that has many different meanings, none of which I meant, but we're confused about the timeline.
Rana, I already said we're keeping the foot content Patreon only.
To be clear, it was never my foot content. That's not gonna happen.
I'm so upset. Wow.
Anyway, so
things about Quentin Tarantino.
Maybe enjoy the internet or don't enjoy it.
I was going to say, enjoy not being that as online as I am, apparently.
Exactly. But that's all to say, then I had to look up a timeline because I was like, surely I've missed something here. Maybe I'm reading the wrong book. And that's where I saw that there was one more thing after this. So, but now I know I'm mostly wrong. Also, this is an auditory thing, but I can't stop looking at Magenta's tail. Just like a little feather duster in the window, or in the window, in the box of camera things here. How do words work? I'm muting. This is bad.
I mean, it is technically a window, not in the sense that you meant, but
no, I meant like a window, like a little like.
Oh well, there you go. Then you were. Then you were right.
We're doing great.
Thanks, guys. I never thought I'd hear that.
Say hi. Say hello.
Wait, I have to take a picture of this so we can put it on our socials.
I don't know. Well, she looks very angry right
Magenta.
Now.
Honestly, she's looking angrier and angrier, which is making the picture
makes
better and better.
Yes. Okay.
That's how people look when they hear our podcast.
Yeah.
More like how I look when Chris tries to make a joke. And then, yeah.
On or off pod, really.
True. Why not both?
Anyway, I'm opening my beer now.
Yeah, great,
say, so
great transition.
Drinking? Kate?
Yeah, great.
What? Oh, fucking, this is the last sipping pretty in the house. Thank you, God. Y'all are going to laugh. Anyway, it's the last sipping pretty in the house. We've so slowly been drinking these. I don't Yeah, we'll see the next one, whenever the next episode we buy beer, how much the actual volume of beer we buy, because oh my god, there's just been beer living in our fridge like
randomly. Yeah, but then it's gonna be warm weather and you're gonna have to bring beer to people's cookouts and stuff.
Fuck, it's fine. Anyway, beer.
The problem is when I have friends over, they are have like very specific beer tastes, so they will like bring their own beer even if I'm like, guys, I have beer, and then they will leave their beer here, which is like a very kind thing to do. Except then I just have more beer and we don't drink it by ourselves.
Okay. But the reason why two of them bring their own beer is because one of them got like, he just like literally has a fucking like lunch bag with all his beers in it and brings it and he'll bring it to places, drink his own beer, take his own beer home. And it's because like he went to where he got bullied at a party when he was at Nebraska or something.
Oh, I don't know the story.
Yeah,
at all.
Yeah, no, like,
empathy for this. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, anyway,
damn, I do not have the lore for
this.
Oh
yeah, that's why he always brings his beer everywhere. Nobody knows who this is. This person has never, like, god bless him, he's so nice, he's not on the internet and he doesn't listen to this podcast. but yeah, no, he just, yeah, it's because he got bullied for his beer taste or whatever at some point.
Damn.
Yeah, rude. when he was going to Nebraska, and this is why we hate Nebraska.
This is why we don't go to Nebraska.
I will personally tell you there are many other reasons to hate Nebraska.
Oh no, I no doubt.
I wasn't short of them.
Yeah. but yeah, no, this is one of the reasons to hate Nebraska is because they were so mean to like one of the nicest men I've ever met in my life. He just doesn't talk and he wants to pet dogs. Like, I'm just like, why? Anyway.
That is the ideal existence.
Right.
I feel bad now for saying I didn't have empathy. What I meant was like, I do feel like it's an extreme reaction. But
no, you're not wrong about that.
I hear you.
I know you're not wrong about that, because this man at this point is like 30 years old, like get over it, but also this is the reason. Anyway, Chris has so much whiskey.
I do, both in bottles, although in bottles I have like a lot of like mostly drinking bottles. I need to restock. But I have a healthy pour right now, which is because I poured myself a regular pour and then I was like, Kate, there's not much left. Should I just like do a big pour? And she was like, yeah. And I'm like, great, it's your fault when I'm drunk and annoying you later. So here we are.
To be fair, that last pour of whiskey is always more than you think.
It's true.
No, wait, hold it up. Look at this thing. It's like, I should have told him to stop.
It's solidly, it's two fingers.
It's two.
It is the last of my Japanese airport whiskey.
Speaking of killing things in the house.
I think I've told this story on the pod before. But literally, so when you go to Japan, it's actually extremely hard to buy Japanese whiskey because whiskey takes a long time to age and their whiskey industry is not super old, and particularly not super old in being globally popular, and they can sell it for more out of the country. So they just sell it like almost all of it out of the country, and it's very hard to find in the country. And so when we went to Japan, I kept trying to fucking buy Japanese whiskey and I could not find any of the good stuff at any fucking store we went to. And then on our last day, as we're at the airport and walking through the duty-free shop, I see this, which is like the type of whiskey that I had been looking for and not able to find. And it was like a special edition, which was literally Haneda Airport only, which was hilarious. maybe just Japanese airports, maybe just duty-free only. But it's fantastic. Regardless. It's some of the best whiskey I've ever had. So, you know, shout out to the Hakushu Japanese Forest Edition.
At the airport.
At the airport.
We love a duty free.
It's true.
I famously did not pay duties on this whiskey.
Oh my fucking God. Incredible. Rana, what do you have?
Well, sorry, I'm distracted because Argos just came upstairs to say hello.
Sweet baby.
I can't turn off my headphones because we're in the middle of recording, but I know that he says hi.
Argos, we're going to see you soon. Ish.
I wish you could hear that. Oh well, he's so cute. Also, it's cold out, so we have gone for over 5 miles of walks today, and he is still a little hyper, so it's cool. Actually, by it's cold, it was 50 degrees today for the first time since like October, so it's not cold anymore, but we still have snow everywhere. I am drinking this random wine. I don't know when I got it. Maybe my mom gave me this when she did her, I'm sure I've talked about this on the pod, her, oh no, they're tariffing all European alcohol, therefore let me go to New Hampshire and fill up my car with as much as I can get.
Oh my God.
I think that's probably where this came from. It's delicious and I've never heard of it before. Since it was 50 degrees today, I thought, let me open up a bottle of rosé. It's a Côte de Provence. I can't pronounce French. So I'm not going to try because there's a lot of words on here. It has a pretty little label. Yeah, whatever it is, it's delicious. It was bottled in 2023. And if I try to say any of these French words, I will be banned from the country of Canada. So I can't, but it is, though I don't really give a fuck what the Québécois think in life.
French is different there anyway.
Québécois can't speak French either.
I was going to say the most garbage French. It was fucking incredible. I had forgotten how trash Québécois French is until we were watching the Olympics. And so like they would like cut in snippets of like Canadian TV or whatever the heck, because, you know, obviously their athletes are decent at winter sports. And I'd just be like, my fucking ears. Anyway, it's fine.
Was that in the World my Series too? Yeah.
My favorite thing is how French Canadians feel like the most depressed people.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, y'all have got to fucking chill.
No fucking comment.
The French with a complex couldn't be.
Never. Yeah. So that's what I'm drinking. It's really, really good. And I'm going to have to vacuum seal it because I can't drink an entire bottle of wine. But I do have salmon tomorrow and I think it will go well with it. So, oh my God, we have another pet visiting us. This is really the pet pod. Too bad I didn't
see
the Argos.
Hi, Tony.
Tony, you look so little.
He's a huge boy.
He's like, I don't know what I'm doing here.
I took him off of his happy. Oh, that didn't go well. Took him off his happy place on the floor when he was just staring at me. So,
well,
now he's gonna start yelling at me soon. It'll be fine.
That's good.
Orca's just sitting on the ground, staring at me with his big black eyes because
Orca.
He picked as soon as we started recording to finally eat all the food in his bowl, and now he's like, "I want more."
In his defense, I told you to refill it, and you were like, "No."
And in my defense, he has plenty of goddamn food in there.
What are you drinking, Burb?
I'm drinking a beer.
Any more details, or?
Great question.
Did it just emerge as a cup or
no,
stein
we're still,
or a glass of beer?
We still have some opinions about the choices the company has been making in recent weeks and months.
If you're never mind, it's fine.
The beer is still good. They just have pulled some dick moves.
Yeah, no free advertising.
Damn. Now I'm curious for this to
show it to us visually. We won't.
Oh, it's the exact same thing I'm usually fucking drinking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I know what it is now.
They just
yeah.
like fired their kitchen 2 months ago and like.
Oh yes. Okay.
With no notice
and the AI slop.
Yeah, the AI slop thing. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see that? We can talk about it off pod.
I did see it.
That's sad. Their food was very solid for a bar.
Yeah. And that doesn't exist anymore. It exists at other location.
Y'all, we're probably only like 5 years away from somebody trying to AI slop literal food. Like, just putting fucking robots in a kitchen and being like, it's actually better than humans.
Oh my God, stop.
They will for sure start that on like Uber Eats with the ghost kitchens. And then
it
will emerge.
Mm-hmm. Isn't like a corporate slop bowl thing?
Great.
Like the places that you go to for lunch, like in the cities.
Oh yeah,
like
that
$15.
I
mean, yeah, I'm sorry.
I know it's not good.
Chipotle
like,
has
I can have
us.
Avocado and edamame with my chicken. Find me up three types of sauce. Perfect.
I do need to say that I was there buying this beer, before coming back to record, and I didn't sleep well last night. And so I said that to my friend who was bartending and she goes, oh, do you want like a shot of Malort? That'll wake you right up. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it.
Oh no.
So I had Malort before this and it was more Malort than I've ever had before.
I love you so much.
It was better when it was only a small sip one time.
Uh-huh.
Not a full like 3 ounces of Malort.
Uh-huh.
3 ounces.
I don't know that anyone. Hey, that's not a shot.
That's like three.
That's like, three shots.
That's like 12.
Like, it's B, I don't know that anyone like in has the ever had 3 ounces of Malort.
Oh yeah, they have. I got it. There's like one guy who like comes in and orders Malort like every week.
What the hell?
It's a weird choice, bro. I'm gonna be honest.
He's a weird dude. It's great.
I think that's definitely classified as a cry for help. you guys can laugh. I'm not even joking.
I was gonna say then we should all be drinking.
No,
so
no, I'm joking Lord. Because I like to laugh at people's misery. To be clear.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. We what are you drinking, Devin?
Devin.
Misery or something else?
Well, now I feel like I'm kind of a square, but I'm just drinking water.
That's
you know?
Fine.
Devin whips out his bottle of Malort.
PhD life.
I've had a lot of soda these last couple of days, so I'm trying to just do like tea and water at least until like Friday, then I'll have more.
There you go. Blast.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
More Baja Blast.
I don't know that I've ever had Baja Blast.
What?
That's you are genuinely mad.
What?
I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
Well, because like yeah. I don't drink soda that often to begin with.
What?
I never eat Taco Bell. I've had Taco Bell once in my life, which I feel like is like the unofficial home of Baja Blast.
You've only had Taco Bell once in your life?
I've literally only had Taco Bell once in my life.
Wow. Dude, what was it?
Great question. I think it was just a burrito.
That's not helpful. Dude, what was in the burrito?
I know.
Like the beefy five-layer burrito? Is it like the bean and cheese burrito?
14 years ago, y'all. I don't know.
You would remember.
I remember not feeling well on the ride home.
I mean, it does that sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes
greasy.
It hits too hard. I'm not opposed, but also like...
But
now that I'm in Colorado, if I want... cheap Mexican food, I can get better cheap Mexican food.
You don't get Taco Bell because you want cheap Mexican food.
It's weird how often Taco Bell lovers have to explain this.
Like, I'm not even a Taco Bell lover. I actually don't like Taco Bell, but you don't go there because you want Mexican food.
Uh-huh. True.
She is her own thing.
I mean, tell you what, next time when you visit, we can get Taco Bell. Rana, well, we're in Massachusetts.
I'm gonna be in Colorado before you guys are in Massachusetts.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
that's all right.
In Colorado right now.
I was gonna
say, Devin, we'll come to you. We'll go to the Taco Bell off baseline. It'll be great.
Oh my freaking god!
All right, I'm muting now. Bye.
Bye.
Only reason I remember specifically that there's a Taco Bell off baseline is because it's next to the Wendy's, which I did frequent often.
I'll unmute for Wendy's. Wendy's is a solid little kind of underrated fast food restaurant. I'm not looking at this side of the screen.
I would agree. I would agree with that. I would agree underrated.
Their CEO joined the stupid fucking bullying McDonald's CEO.
Oh, I saw
challenge.
And it was like, bro, you're not funny.
It was. Yeah, he was not funny. The A&W guy was funny. I think I sent that to you.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, I don't think I've seen it yet.
Anyway.
I just liked the parody of the McDonald's guy.
I mean,
that I sent you.
Yeah,
like Ronald McDonald.
Oh no, God. After this, we can actually start the pod. I swear. But McDonald's
Devin's
CEO
gonna cut all this.
put out like a video of him like taste testing their new burger, which he notably had to call a product because McDonald's is not legally allowed to call their shit burgers. And B. He just looked so repulsed the entire time. He's like, look at all this. I don't even know what to do with this.
Chickens.
It was extremely funny.
And it was like filmed on like somebody's potato phone. And he had like his little Harvard sweater over his collared shirt. And it was not literally a Harvard sweater, but like, you know, like that very preppy whatever the fuck. It was ridiculous. It was purely absurd. Anyway, this is what I pay attention to, so I don't have to look at the horrors.
Speaking of the horrors,
yes.
Continuing from the first time we recorded for this book a regular amount of time ago.
Yep.
our cause is the National Immigrant Justice Center. that is immigrant. Jesus. Immigrant is the word. Immigrantjustice.org. Their goal is to establish and defend the legal rights of immigrants, regardless of background, and transform the immigration system to one that actually affords equal opportunity for all. They also have a bunch of really good resources for what to do if you encounter ICE in the wild. If you have the funds and are so inclined, please direct it their way.
Hooray. All right, so we finally found Planet X, which is kind of bananas after being told about it for several many books, and
quest
like
is over.
Not getting there, just like, I don't know, being stuck in like fucking like the whatever fuck force field from hell, like it's just all this other nonsense, going to 10 different other planets, which are decidedly not Planet X. We have arrived, and it is kind of a horror show. I think, like,
yeah,
I don't, well, Miranda, we were just talking about Annihilation. It's not like that.
Even Annihilation.
Yeah. It's the whole planet is cursed. It's like so pretty and also too much. It's fine.
The more deeply I think about it, the more haunted. Apt that comparison is. Specifically the movie Annihilation stuff, not the book Annihilation.
Okay,
stuff.
Am I the only one who hasn't read Annihilation before like the last 2 weeks? Cool.
Yes.
Great. I'm part of the club now, though.
Yay, welcome.
Deeply haunted planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Horrifying.
Yeah. I don't love it. It's, yeah, I never want to go back here again. Are you?
Oh,
I don't
that's
know
interesting.
Who... Sorry?
I feel the opposite, Kate. I could read, like, 5 books on this planet. I like it.
Oh, I mean, yes, and also, I don't know. It's like... The thing with Annihilation is that so much of it felt like Technicolor horror, which is a very fascinating, like, whole situation, kind of like Midsommar. And so, yeah, and that is what this planet is. And also, like, that's almost more unsettling to me than just your run-of-the-mill, like, it's nighttime creepy shit. So,
see, I like that so much more.
Fair enough. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not, like, a good, like, subversion of the trope or anything, but it, oh my god, it made me so fucking uncomfortable. Also, I hate trees, so maybe that was part of
Kate,
it.
Kate's afraid of trees on a good day. I can't confirm.
Yes. Fucking New York City.
It reminded
fuck
me
you!
A little bit of did any of you ever read The Sparrow? I had very mixed feelings on it. No? Okay, never mind. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I
don't know what this was my point. The autistic point is my point.
I love you. Yes.
So the thing about Planet X, in addition to being a Technicolor horror show, is that, like, the force is very strong here. There's a lot of shit going on. And my absolutely favorite thing about this book so far that I'm totally obsessed with is Marta not putting any of the fucking pieces together.
She's got, you know, the cult blinders. They don't encourage...
The cult blinders are on. When they were on the way to the planet and going through the death force field, the one character that, like, the one person on their team that only communicated, first of all, never, but then started screaming about, we're all gonna fucking die, telepathically.
Yeah, in their brains, yes. Mm-hmm.
In their brains. Marta's like, I don't know what the force is. I don't know how we got through that. That's fucking weird. Wow, why is this guy so observant all the time? It's like, baby girl, every single person on this trip questing Planet X is force sensitive. And this was on purpose. Mm-hmm. Like, the mother is insane, but she knows what she's doing. Like, this was very clearly crafted. You just kind of, like, hopped onto the spaceship at the last minute. Like, let's go on an adventure. We're all gonna die. And it's like... You don't notice anything about what's happening here?
It's sometimes it's hard to remember that during this time period, Marta's like 18, 19. And like, just speaking for myself, I was a dumbass when I was like 18, 19. And I wasn't in a cult. So,
I mean, I'm a dumbass now. I'm 33 years old.
Hey.
That was a joke about Kate going to Catholic middle school. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
I didn't have a good time.
Catholicism is only slightly more of a cult than Mormonism.
I mean, yeah. The first time Chris saw an actual fucking relic up close in real life, the way he lost his mind was like very funny to me.
Hold on. Hmm? All right, so I actively stopped getting high like 2 hours before this. Did you just say he saw a relic in real life?
Yes.
Where's the relic? A Catholic relic. I guess I don't know what a Catholic relic is.
Thank you, Devin, for being a normal fucking human being.
Okay, so
have you never played Civ 6?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Oh.
I don't have the time to play it in between that sentence and this sentence, but... I trust, you know, that it connected.
So in Catholicism, a relic is not just, like, a religious artifact. It is literally dead people body parts.
Yeah.
Okay.
The range of emotions that just flashed across this man's face.
So, or you know, or things related to people's bodies. So, like, you know, there's, like, thousands of churches across the world with, like, bits of wood that they swear to God is the true part of the true cross, you know, sort of thing.
Gotcha.
Or, like, this is, like, you know, St. Sebastian's finger, except he apparently had 20 fingers, you know, like that kind of thing. So, yeah.
I heard a shroud, and that does sound very familiar to me.
The Shroud of Turin is, yes, like, a relic.
That is, gotcha. Yes.
Okay, but also I think my favorite, like, relic, non-relic, is the one that me and Kate saw when we went to the fucking, like, Jesuit fucking, like, home mother church. I don't know what the fuck you call it.
Yeah.
When we were in Rome.
Mother church?
Home mother church.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know they allowed women in church in Catholicism sometimes.
I mean, you're
Mary's
not
Mary's mentioned at least twice in the Bible, is all I'm gonna say.
Me.
I may not have read it, but I know that.
Oh my word.
Anyway, so we go to this church, and it happens to be like during service, because it's fucking Catholicism and it's always during service. That's the fucking
secret.
So
you wander in during Mass?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that just kind of happens in Italy.
Yeah,
so.
No, that's
that's fair.
I challenge somebody to go to Italy and not wander into a church during Mass. Like, that's impossible.
Yeah, like, they're just constantly having Mass, like, at St. Peter's Basilica, for example, so you can't, you just have to shut the
fuck
up.
Like, sometimes they're having Mass outside, like, it's middle school, like, it's a whole...
fuck off!
Anyway, so we go in, and we're like, you know, we're, like, being respectful in the back, and they, all of a sudden, so, A, this is the church where I first saw a fucking relic, and
which
I
was
turned
some,
to Kate.
Which was, what was it?
It was someone's finger.
Ignatius' finger?
I think it was St. Ignatius' finger.
Okay.
Finger. And I was like, is that that? Like, and I was like, that's really weird that they, like, made a fake finger. And Kate's like, no, that's his real fucking finger.
Or someone's real fucking
and
finger.
And so I quietly lost my shit about that in the back of this church. Meanwhile, Mass continues. And they get
also, to be fair, what you're about to describe does not count as a fucking relic. It has nothing to do with
I know,
any
but it's
already.
I don't okay. care. It's still fucking stupid.
Okay.
Anyway, they get to some part where they're like, I don't know. I don't know the terms. My religion's older. but they like get to like the end of it and they're like celebrating everything and
oh
whatever.
God. It's
and
like,
all of a sudden,
it's the fucking like, I don't know, like after you do communion and you have your like contemplation 5 minutes, it's like that.
Yeah. And
is it
so,
the part where you shake hands?
No, that's before communion.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Whatever, anyway.
Anyway, so they just start, like, blasting, like, epic music and turning spotlights onto this, like, gorgeous, like, Renaissance fresco on the wall.
It was beautiful.
It's, like, it's amazing. And I'm, like, I too would highlight this if I had it in my church. No.
But wait, there's more.
That's not what was being highlighted. The gorgeous, authentic Renaissance fresco starts fucking conveyor belting out of sight to reveal a cup. Now, what is this cup, you might say? Is it the Holy Grail? No, it's not.
Yes.
It is, in fact, just the regular cup that one of the saints... Hang on. I'll get there, Kate.
No,
don't worry.
No, it wasn't just a straight-up statue. I don't think it was a cup.
You're right. It wasn't a cup. It was a statue.
Excuse
I apologize.
The fuck out of you.
It was a statue of...
At least get the
details
Mary
right.
Something.
No, it was a statue of fucking Saint Ignatius because it was the Jesuit church.
Okay, fine.
Fuck
whatever.
Me.
Six of one, half dozen of the other. Anyway, so it's a statue of Saint Ignatius. And at this point, I'm already...
I had to read your part, half of the Bible too, you know? Jesus.
That's because our part's the part that counts. No, JK, ours definitely does not count, famously. But anyway,
I ain't touching
just
want
to remind y'all that this is recording.
I ain't touching
like at
any
some
of that.
Point, I should say that.
Anyway, so, and I'm like losing my mind because I'm like, you are fucking like rolling a Renaissance fresco out of sight to show this statue. I want to know what this statue is. So we go
are
up
they
after
rolling
the...
it out like you watch Bill Nye in science class and you just bring the big TV out.
No, it's like on like a fucking. Kate, help me describe. It's like.
So it's like, so the fresco.
It's like when you like roll up your blinds. It was like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Like a projector situation.
Yeah.
Almost
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Except it was literally a fucking canvas that they rolled out of sight.
And
then behind the canvas is this fucking statue that Chris is about to describe.
And so we go up and there's, as there is for everything in Italy, there's a sign telling you what it is. And it's like, this is a statue of Saint Ignatius that was commissioned in, you know, fucking 200 AD, or I don't actually know when he lived. Apologies. That's what I'm choosing to apologize for. And but anyway, this very historic statue.
The way that's
and then
so
there's
off is so good. Yeah,
and then on. There's a footnote, and the footnote says the real statue was melted down by Napoleon's forces in the 1800s. This is a recreation of the statue. And I just fucking can't.
The simulacrum is Catholicism. Right fucking there.
This is a religion that clings desperately to the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
One of the like second of which Rana's offended.
Rana was like absolutely fuck up.
Rana's like you have blasphemed too far. isn't the fucking second one like don't worship idols?
Yeah, we this is how Protestantism happened.
Yeah, and not only are they
like,
worshiping an idol, it's a fake idol.
It's hollow inside.
It's not even real.
It's hollow inside. The original
it's made of tin.
The original was melted down for bullets, literally, by Napoleon's army. What was the fucking point of this?
I honestly have no idea.
Oh my god!
Talking about relics, planet?
Because I was confused.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Why are we talking about relics?
Because you were like, Chris lost his shit the first time he found out what relics
why
are.
Didn't
that happen because Chris said something about Catholics make as little sense as, yeah, we were talking about cults, and then you talked about Mormons.
Oh, it was Kate, it was Kate being like, I remember being 19.
Oh, Kate's afraid of trees.
Yeah. Thank you.
Kate's afraid of trees, and Kate being like, I remember being 19, and us being like, you weren't in a cult, and then me joking, at least not since middle
Catholic
school, because she went to Catholic school.
Listen,
full circle, we're here.
It's fine.
We are 34 minutes into the podcast.
Oh my fucking god. Listen, wow, that was like 20 minutes story time. I like, listen, thanks for the recap. I had COVID last month, so now my brain doesn't work.
You
and
got a vacation
just,
to Italy right there.
It's
it's basically
jeez,
the same.
Louise. Planet X.
The trees were scary.
Yeah,
the trees are force sensitive.
It's got scary force sensitive trees that apparently amplify other people's like weak force sensitivities. Like if you were borderline, all of a sudden you can do like Jedi shit. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's Marta
like,
once again. Like, oh man, it's wild how my boyfriend keeps picking every safe fruit to eat off of a tree. And doesn't pick any poisonous mushrooms or anything like that. We're so lucky. There's no other explanation for this.
But
I mean,
also,
she's 19.
My favorite thing about that though was the moment where she realized what was happening, and she's just like pointing at her fucking lizard boyfriend, being like, "Kevin."
She's like, got a type. She's got a type. I was going to
really
talk about this later. Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
No, you go.
I was going to talk about this later, but Marta loves a force-sensitive guy who's going to die. It's her type.
It's true.
Well,
Marta, I love that her defining. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I just said it's Star Wars. That's gonna fucking happen.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Force sensitive boyfriend, gonna fucking die.
Absolutely.
It's true though.
I just love that Marta's like defining trait as like a sentient being is just being the single most illogical person you've ever met. Like this, she is like the poster child for like the memes of like, so this, and then this, and then this, And so if you put them in a row, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, she's absolutely incapable of coming to conclusions.
To be fair, that does make her great for the cult.
It's true.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, if when you're raised in an environment that doesn't encourage independent thinking, what are you going to do magically, like, spontaneously develop independent? That doesn't happen. Instead, you point at your force-sensitive, now for, suddenly force-sensitive boyfriend, like... Holy shit, Kevin.
Also, it is, I do want to credit the writing of from both Kevin Scott in this one and it was Justina Ireland and
Tessa Gratton,
thank you, who have written kind of the Marta-centric books, because I famously really hate plots that depend on somebody holding the stupid ball for like 10 minutes. And Marta doesn't do that. This is just who she is, and they have made us believe that she is just this dumb.
She is the stupid ball. Do we want to talk about Mortis real quick? That Burb does not remember the existence of.
Yeah, so this is
so
like,
I can let you monologue some more about crazy shit.
This is like one joke that I made to Kate. When we were famously talking off pod, breaking the rules. I promise it's only happened once. We just sit in silence other than that.
It's true.
But the planet itself is very distinctly a character in this book. Yeah. In a way that, like, you don't quite realize when everyone's searching for it, because it's like, oh, everyone's searching for planet X. X-Tooine, you know, like it's just another Star Wars planet.
But, right. And also like located in a weird hidden pocket dimension that you kind of just stumble upon, yeah, randomly.
You just kind of like, don't worry. If you just like stop worrying about it, like maybe you'll find it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very, and we're going to talk much more about this in phase 3, not to give out any spoilers, but like when you look at, like, they get out of the ship and they're immediately like, what is happening on this planet? Like, we all feel weird. There's like a wash of colors. Everything's amazing and also potentially trying to kill us. Very much like the Annihilation Swamp.
This is just Annihilation once again.
Yeah, this is purely the Florida Everglades.
yes.
But it very much reminds me of the Mortis arc of Clone Wars, which, for those who have not watched, is basically, there's really no good way to explain it, so I'm not going to try.
It's really one of the trippiest like, arcs of the Clone Wars. Like, it's pure lore, honestly.
It's pure lore. It's like never made fully clear if it's all just a fever dream. Like, it's not, but it's also never made fully clear if it's all just a fever dream.
We know from Rebels it's not.
I know. It's not made clear in the Clone Wars. Like, if it's just a collective hallucination where they're on this planet that is trying to kill them and is also like one of the birthplaces of the Force, and Anakin kind of becomes Jesus, but then he becomes fallen Jesus, and it's sad.
Oh my god, we made the Catholicism.
The whole Skywalker's like saga is Anakin is Jesus.
Oh yeah.
This is on Mortis, he realizes Jesus-itude.
I see.
And, you know, like, nothing reminded me so much of Mortis with Planet X as the two creatures that they find who seem to be in some sort of weird cosmic battle for good and evil, which, again, we see that with the son and the daughter with Mortis, and they literally transform into, like, I was like, what in the Aslan is happening here? It's like that. Speaking of Jesus, it's fine.
Yeah, the Mortis arc literally has a scene where Anakin like personally fucking like subdues both the dark side and the light side and balances the force. No one has ever said that George Lucas or Dave Filoni is subtle.
And now that man is in charge of all the Star Wars.
God, he really is. We haven't talked about that at
Literally all the Star Wars.
Is belong to Hat. But yeah,
all
so
the
like
Star Wars is belong to Hat is
yes
the perfect encapsulation of where we're at.
But yeah, so like just basically
sorry.
The way this like reminded me of Mortis is that the planet is a character in that the planet is like a stand-in for the force itself, it feels like, on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then there's kaiju, which we've already talked about. We are pro kaiju on this pod, oh, most of us anyway.
My God.
There's a lot of horrors on the planet.
There's a lot. There's the big like fucking not spider thing, which I don't like. And I'm glad has never been represented in any sort of visual media.
It doesn't not sound like the Zilla Beast, honestly. It sounds like a giant centipede motherfucker.
There's gotta be some fan art somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure.
It makes insectoid clicking noises. It skitters. It's bad. It's bad news. It stabs people with its feet. It's bad.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris,
once again, foot content only available on the Patreon.
It's the third time Chris has brought up feet tonight.
How many times do I have to say this isn't foot pod?
I did enjoy the moment where it's like, hooray, the big not a leveler is here to save. Oh, God, he's not here to save us.
Yeah, no,
no, not here to save us.
Definitely not here to save us.
Angriest kitty.
Also, I love that Marta is just like completely incapable of putting that together in her mind. Speaking of, once again, absolutely not being able to connect the dots.
Oh, my gosh.
Marta has seen leveler. Marta describes giant creature that, by most descriptions, feels kind of like a leveler. But why would it be mad at us? Could it be after the eggs that we just stole?
No, it's fine.
No one gets mad when you steal their babies.
Nobody gets mad in nature when you steal the babies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can we talk more about Marta?
Please. Let's talk about Marta.
My God. Her character arc has been utterly fascinating, from being this like sweet little accolade. I am the preschool teacher too. I'm just gonna wrest power of this whole fucking cult from two extremely dangerous people, actually, and wage war on force users. And I was just like, holy fucking shit, she's terrifying. And I'm just like, man, just like, I don't know, grief did some. Went gangbusters in her brain and did some weird stuff because she's just out of control right now.
Is that what's like pushing her to do these insane things?
I mean, I think
do we think? Because it just seems like, why the fuck is she crazy now?
I definitely think that's like the inciting like experience that she has, is that like she, you know, she has her little rumspringa with Kevin where he's just like, maybe using the force isn't so bad. And then he super dies, like in her place, crumbles to dust in her fucking arms. And she's like, oh, no, he was super wrong. I'm doubling down on this. I lost this person because I wasn't good enough to convince them that that the cult is right. And yeah, and so on and so forth. And it just kind of keeps snowballing from there.
Yeah. And I think. Sure. And I think the death of Bok is his name? Mm-hmm. Bokana?
I'm not going to lie. That's what I heard in my head when Chris said Bok. I didn't read it as Bok because I was reading the name as Bokana. So I was reading it as Bok for some reason, like with the line over the O.
Yeah, me too.
But as soon as you said Bok, I was seeing the chickens.
But like, I completely agree with everything Kate said about like, there's a notable difference in Marta's character before Kevin dies and after Kevin dies. And also, I think there's just as notable difference before Bok dies and after Bok dies, where she kind of just has essentially a complete mental break from reality. Like, she's no longer living in the same universe as the rest of us. Yeah. And that's what's so terrifying about her to both the Herald and the Mother, because they're very experienced in manipulating people and knowing that the way you manipulate people is to like play on the fact that they care about their own well-being. And Marta no longer has a sense of her own well-being, so she cannot be threatened.
It's interesting because when I was seeing her or reading her hallucinations or whatever the hell's happening with her, seeing Kevmo. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Kevmo sounds both like a golden retriever and a frat bro. And in fact, I picture a golden retriever with a hat and a beer. So
he's supposed to peanut butter.
If he'd graduated from Padawan status, he would have been the frat bro Jedi for sure.
1000%. But because at the same time, Yana is seeing Lore is her name?
Core.
I was like, I'm a letter off and I don't know where it is. One of these is not quite right. Sorry, guys. I decided to start recording at 9:15 because I couldn't get my life together and I'm not meant to be awake at this hour. Anyway, because they were both having this happen, I thought at first, oh, maybe it's like an Evereni trait. And I was like, oh, they can like, oh, they're, I really, really overthought this. And I was like, the reason people hate Evereni is because they can see like spirits. But that's not true at all. It turns out this bitch is just crazy. So.
Did we talk about this last time?
Yeah, we
did. I wasn't
here,
sorry.
Okay, so no, I was like, I also thought that people were just like, oh, these, like, look at the big bad. It's like, okay, but they're both doing it. Are they both broken or?
No, I think,
well, yes,
yeah.
And.
Can they actually see dead people?
And I think they're just predisposed to manifesting their whatever's weighing on them in the form of, like, ghosts.
I mean,
whatever.
They're both deeply traumatized.
Oh, yeah.
I was just thinking, like, if they could really see spirits, then hopefully they would have had more ties with their parents and shit. You know?
Yeah, I think I said this on a previous episode, but I don't think that's, like, they're actually seeing the real spirits just because, like,
No,
Kevin is acting in a distinctly un-Kevin way.
No, he's absolutely.
Yeah. That was what finally made me realize, like, oh no, because it's like, it's basically all your depressed thoughts, but he's just saying them. And I was like, wow, this is like when I spiral. This is crazy.
Oh, no!
Rana also sees Kevin specifically.
I do. I see Kevin in his Jedi robes telling me I'm a worthless piece of shit.
Oh, man, dude. Saying that I relate to Marta might be the worst thing I've ever said about myself ever. Anyway,
it's not.
But I do think that it's like it's essentially like generational trauma in the form of this specific manifestation.
Yeah. Just like so, Star Wars, a lot of dead people, so much grief, constant theme. So yeah, obviously that's present here. I definitely think you're speaking towards like the Evereni generational trauma and them kind of being like a lost people without a home is part of this. But also deeply woven into Star Wars is like Anakin's grief over his mom and over Padme and or even like his like almost like what is it like having advanced grief over losing Padme that like you know drives the entire Skywalker saga. We've got Obi-Wan being the saddest man alive. you know, takes Anakin on as a Padawan, but because he has grief guilt over Qui-Gon getting stabbed because he's the only person in Star Wars ever to get stabbed in the kidney and die. And then, you know, losing Satine, losing Anakin, him going into his own like self-imposed exile because he's like, I am a failure. You are. But, you know, that's also a catalyst for things. Like, is it completely his fault? No, but he's a failure. I'll say it.
Relatable.
You know, Yana's like is telling herself she's spending this entire time trying to take care of Marta and actually like she's so stuck in her own grief about Korra that she's not able to, you know, rein her cousin in at all. And yeah, just good times. Speaking of Filoni, this is why I'm always mad that he just won't let people fucking die, Ahsoka. Because it's like, there's no actual like impact. Like this, it is like, you know, Ahsoka's character has largely been rendered meaningless, like because she just won't go away. Like there are no consequences for her for any fucking decisions she makes. This is a completely different fucking discussion. I'm still mad about Kanan and Tech actually dying because whatever.
Somewhere in San Francisco, Dave Filoni just thought about Kanan and laughed.
I don't want to. I'm all right. I'm done talking now.
But no, I mean, I think it's very real, and I think it speaks to, like, and honestly, even just as a storytelling device, which, like, we criticize franchises and Star Wars for using death as a storytelling device all the time, but, like,
some people do it better than others.
Some people do it better than others. And even, like, as a storytelling device, the Ever-Aeni being a dying species and being hated for being, like, planet killers is, like, in its own way kind of ironic when you look at, like, what Marta is choosing to do based on what that generational trauma has done to her on Dalna, and what Markian is choosing to do, you know, several generations later, based on, again, that same generational trauma and the fact that everybody hates Ever-Aeni. And it's a very interesting storytelling choice to, like, show, like the way people hate them really isn't their fault, and it's discrimination. And also, separate point, they kind of suck.
Yeah, separate point, we're not seeing the best that the Ever-Aeni have to offer.
Yeah. No. They're not sending their best, for sure.
Somehow I knew it was going there, and I was hoping we would stop, but here we are.
We have to make little jokes to keep from crying, Rana. I don't know what to tell you.
Poison!
People are, yeah, also not just dying from Ever-Aeni, but also dying from poison, so that's fun.
My god.
I forgot. Go ahead. Don't worry.
Oh. Okay. I guess, like, not only were we poisoning people, we were poisoning children, which, like, I don't like children, but that seems like a line you've crossed there, you know? Like,
Kate famously doesn't like kids, but she's not poisoning them yet, so.
I don't want to poison children. That's fucked up. But even I know
that. I don't.
If our neighbors are listening, your children are safe.
That's literally
here.
What I was thinking about.
I don't like kids, but we need them in society. You don't.
Yeah, they're
you
precious.
Can't just kill them.
And also, like, I don't know. Let me not get on my soapbox about
they
why
suck,
kids are
but like they.
I just feel bad for the treatment of children because they're innocent.
Yeah.
All the time.
Oh no, 1000%. And also, you know, it's not like children are already a vulnerable population, obviously, because they have no rights and no agency, and they're very small. But like poisoning a child in a fucking soup kitchen, like, that is so fucking low. I can't even describe.
And poisoning at-risk children.
Yes, like
poor children,
hungry children.
I mean, it's probably going to be a policy recommendation
to get
in the meal. Next year, but also, yeah.
I was going to say, next thing you know, they're going to be redlining Dalna. It's going to be a whole thing. That we'll look back and be like, that's where Chris went too far. Got it.
I mean, this Star Wars is about fascism, so.
Famously. Yeah, the poison was interesting. I also couldn't, maybe I'm just slow, and also, ironically, I'm slow and with speed reading, so, I couldn't understand the motive of why she was poisoning people. Do we
We're
know
there,
this?
Yeah,
why would be poisoning
people? I just wanted to make sure I was not, like, completely obtuse, and I was like, I don't understand why, but okay.
Like, don't you want the people in the, like, in the town that your cult compound is outside of, like, on your side?
Although the cults
when the fucking,
do love
when all the
poisoning.
Jedi Shrek up,
they do
love poisoning.
And
but, like, you still want the locals on your side if you can, because otherwise they try to invade your compound, which does happen.
That's true.
Unless you're testing weapons of mass destruction.
Well, that's what I was thinking, too, was, like, is this a power play where she has some way that she can, you know, cancel out the poison or heal people in some way or whatever. Also, are her little episodes real or are they fake visions? Is it like as soon as they said she was like speaking a language no one thought was real or whatever, when Yana's like, this seems fake, I was like, are we speaking in tongues?
So like, there are definitely people who in the crowd who are speaking in tongues to kind of like imitate her, but like my read on the situation was that she is having real seizures and passing them off as like spiritual experiences.
Okay, Thank you.
Yeah, my take is definitely that she is force sensitive because she's shady as fuck. Yeah. And, like, she's hanging around the leveler all the time. Mm-hmm. And
which, I don't like, props to her, like, fucking will of steel.
I was gonna
to
say,
not be dead.
The absolute.
Yeah, I don't know if you've read this, but the leveler eats the Jedi.
What?
The force sensitive. I missed that.
I'm just kidding.
You know, now that you bring that up, I'm thinking about that, God, is it Vildar who is the only one who's just like, I'm so angry the leveler can't eat me? I'm like, how much anger and hatred does this woman have in her heart to be with, like, with even able to withstand the leveler for like 5 minutes is kind of bananas, actually. It's fine.
It's all fine.
It's, yeah.
We're all doing great.
Yep, yep.
Can I make a point real quick?
Oh, yes. Please do.
So I know we mostly see them trying to poison the children.
Yes.
With the soup. Yes.
But the journalists.
They kill a fucking queer lady.
They keep doing that.
What?
We on top love of to everything else, doing hate crimes.
It's not great.
We love to fridge our fucking gays. Like, kill all the queer ladies ever. I just stare into the void and hope it consumes me. And also, she seems so cool. Like, she showed up like, oh, I'm undercover. I'm gonna do whatever. I was dead.
Yeah, I was also hoping more was gonna happen with her character, aside from literally just simply fucking dying. It's okay, though. Yana's with you, staring into the void.
I mean, I'm not convinced Yana's gonna make it out of this, because they already killed off her girlfriend, so.
Well, now she only has one hand.
She's down one hand.
Which, in Star Wars, is actually probably a good thing, so.
Yeah, it's like, she just
has the rumblies that only hands can fill.
What the fuck? God, that is
she's
a deep cut.
One in a long line of one-handed protagonists.
You are correct.
When it happened, I literally opened my mouth and went, "What?" like this, and then I knew I overreacted, and then I was like, "It's a Star Wars story. Of course, someone lost a hand. This is what we do. No, we chop off hands with lightsabers. It's
no
famously
it's
what Star Wars is all
sure.
about." It's grief and it's lost hands.
Why not both? They're both trauma. That's okay.
Or you could be Anakin and just all things are gone, and also super grief, and also
should have chopped more hands.
And a lost hand. He chops hands and he chopped a hand. His hand's gone.
It's true. It's true.
All
shot
hands
Luke's
are
hand
gone.
And then half a year later he was redeemed, which is all I'm saying.
honest to God, the first time
No, go ahead.
The first time I watched Empire and he cuts off Luke's hand, I was just sitting there thinking, why would you? You have no hands.
It's genetic.
It's fine.
Yana's actually a predecessor of the Skywalkers.
Oh my God.
Yana Skywalker. That child's name, Yana Skywalker.
Fuck. Please, God, no. All right.
This just reminds me of back when the sequel trilogy was in like full, like it was like in the middle of it, and every single time they introduced a new female character,
a woman
in any era of Star Wars,
imagine a woman.
Like, is that Rey's mom? Janina Gavankar in Battlefront 2. Is that Rey's mom?
Notably,
famously no.
Notably, literally an Indian person. Like,
hey, not all like, of us look like our other parents. It's fine.
I mean, this like,
joke.
Fun little
multiracial joke there. Haha. Phenotype does not equal genotype, Kate.
Subcontinent Indian, but yes.
That's what my point remains the same.
Hashtag that's the joke.
Oh my God.
I was with you, Rana. I got it.
Thanks.
Rana's like, I don't want to have been joking anymore.
I don't. Okay. I don't know what it's. Joe, you finished your whiskey.
That's
you finished that whole thing.
See?
Holy shit.
Oh, wow.
No wonder we're at an hour.
I finished it like a good 10 minutes ago. Thank you.
Oh, we're at an hour because we had Catholic pot in the middle.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, we did.
We took mass.
That was my bad.
God.
Sorry.
It's an
Listen,
hour.
My stories may be long and have no point. But they don't compare to mass. Let's be clear here.
All right, Burb has a question in the fucking outline, so I'm just gonna answer it while you do whatever it is that you
continue
fucking
continue to blaspheme.
Whatever you fucking do, you're already Jewish. There's no hope for you. You know, like
whoa, no, we're gonna get canceled here. It's not good.
No, there's
oh my
god,
I was gonna make another joke, but I'm not gonna. Anyway, I'm just not gonna make another joke. All right, so. Burb had a question about, so as we get to the end of this section that we just read, we've got a whole lot of Jedi popping up on Dalna, and as I recall in, so, and your question was like, how much of this did we know about, and how much of this did other people know about?
What we see is like everybody's showing up to Dalna in like pairs and small groups.
Yes.
And we've seen some of it. We're like, oh, we're just gonna go. What the fuck?
Yeah, all of the Jedi that we meet in person in this part of the book are people that, like, are mentioned or they come up on comms calls or whatever in Cataclysm. So, like, all the names do line up, but, like, you're exactly correct that, like, there is deeply, like, no fucking coordination or communication happening amongst, like, any of these people. One of the things that like was definitely interesting to me is that like as the Jedi become more, I don't know, centralized, systematized in terms of like their power structures, like there's definitely like a more of a feeling that like that somebody knows where everyone is at any given time. Like the council issues, like, I don't know, tasks for people to complete. And so like they're able to track pretty much everybody. Despite the fact that there's like thousands of them, that is not so here. They're just kind of willy-nilly doing whatever.
Yeah, it's a lot of like, we're following the will of the Force in this era. The will of the Force is separately leading all of us to Dalna. That couldn't be weird.
No, nothing to see here. Perfectly normal things at this time.
Doesn't mean that we should be keeping our guard up.
Who put this point about LeBron in here, by the way?
They're not communicating enough to know that, like, hey, everybody else is also going to fucking Dalna.
Kate wanted to hate her husband more, but it was me. I'm sorry. So, the note, so that people know this, and it doesn't matter, is every single fucking time that I read Lieben, Master Lieben, blah, 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 I read LeBron. And I had to look up what this character looks like. Turns out he's like a giant cat thing.
I was gonna say it's like she's a cat. Yeah,
I was gonna say, excuse you, she is a cat. Don't misgender the cat. Thank you.
For some reason, though, I just picture LeBron James every time. It's like Space Jam and Star Wars in the modern era. I know they redid Space Jam. I don't acknowledge that. It's not a part of my life. But every time, I just think LeBron. I don't know why. It's every time. And I just needed to tell someone.
That vine of that kid saying LeBron James.
Yep. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
LeBron every fucking James. Page.
Tell you what, LeBron though. Master Lebon just spontaneously crumbling to dust is not the worst allegory for LeBron's career.
Wow.
Can we be done with this pod now? Anybody got anything
else?
It's
fine. I'm just a bitter Lakers fan. Don't worry about it.
Are you a Lakers fan? Like,
how have we not talked? Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like there are a lot of reasons that people are going to ban us from recording, and we had about seven in this episode.
I've been canceled for at least seven reasons so far.
Our NBA takes are not what's going to do it.
No.
Definitely not. I'm pretty sure LeBron sucks is not even a hot take anymore. I'm pretty sure that's just like accepted wisdom.
Oh my god. Did anyone else have anything actually fucking substantive to say before I cut us off? Because we need to be cut off.
I don't remember this part of the book, but, like, fuck killing your gays.
The part with LeBron James.
Can you please end the pod, you fucking drug asshole? Oh, jeez.
Thank you for listening to this episode, if you can call it that, of the Book Wars pod. Next episode, we're going to be finishing Path of Vengeance by Kevin Scott. We're also going to be reading the manga The Edge of Balance Precedent, which is a... Well, it takes place after the book, so read it after. If you have the means, first and foremost, donate to the org that we talked about at the top, which was National Immigrant Justice Center at immigrantjustice.org. I feel like things are happening on video and I'm actually reading the prompts, so I don't know what they are. That's fine.
We're just reacting to you having had alcohol. It's fine.
Then if you want to support us, you can donate to the Tashi Station Radio Patreon or give us coffee. Really helps cover our hosting and production costs. At some point, we'll stream again. We've been bad about it the last couple months.
We had depression.
The world's fucking collapsing around us. Give us a break. But we'll also post more pictures of Argos, Blue, Flix, Magenta, Merly, Orca, and Tony on the Instagram for your pleasure. Our theme song is Whiz Bang by Poddington Bear. Our logo and artwork are by Joe Butera Design, and our audio and production are done by very soon to be Dr. Producer Devin Keys. Burr, 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 burr. From all of us here at Book Wars Pod, Kate, Rana, Miranda, Devin, I'm Chris. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
And God help you, Jesus.
Today,
Christ.
We need to change it to say I'm sorry for listening.
Yeah, right. It's always I'm sorry.
I'm deeply
but...
sorry for the time we've wasted, and we'll talk to you next
and
week.
And the bandwidth we're taking up on Brian's server.